Welcome, folks, to The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher. Every week, diving deep into the truth of Catholic social teaching and restoring all things in Christ.
The Uncommon Good is on the air. I'm Bo Bonner.
And I'm Dr. Bud Maher.
We are coming to you from these United States of America, here in the middle of the country, good old Des Moines, Iowa, where it can tornado and snow in rapid succession. But we are coming to you, a relatively chilly day, I think, for March, even though, funny enough, just a mere 3 weeks ago, we would have probably thought this was warm. But, we are dressed in layers, Bud, and ready to go. My name's Bo Bonner. I am the senior advisor for mission initiatives at Mercy College of Health Sciences, the director of our Center for Human Flourishing. Bud, what do you do out at Old Mercy College?
I'm the associate provost at Mercy College of Health Sciences, so involved in all things academic.
And, of course, we are always underwritten by Mercy College of Health Sciences. We want to say thank you so much for all that they do for, of course, the community, but for our show, being able to come on air and talk about the common good. Precisely because it is so consonant with the mission of Mercy College, mchs.edu, in full swing. In fact, coming up on spring break, right, Bud?
Yeah, spring break is next week. When you're in academia, you know, people say, like, time flies when you're having fun. Sort of, start of the semester, midterm, spring break. It flies at you, kind of like in Star Trek when you see the stars just whizzing by.
I think that's Star Wars, but don't worry, we'll get sued.
They don't fly through... Oh, copyright laws?
No, fans will be mad at us about, like, which Star Trek or Star Wars. No, I'm teasing. And, of course, it's funny when you, of course, grow up and think spring break, and it's like the best thing since sliced bread. Spring break, yeah. Not as quite appealing when you have a lot of administrative duties.
No, that never stops, per se. But, yeah, a lot of exciting things at Mercy College. Yesterday I was in a classroom with students talking about Sister Catherine McCauley, who founded the Sisters of Mercy. Some of them made, the courageous trek to come to a land away from their home, and a few ended up in Des Moines. Our legacy, our history reaches all back to the first sisters who arrived here, started what today is, Mercy One Hospital, and the college was an outgrowth of that. So it's kind of exciting sometimes to step back and think about that history.
MCHS.edu, sorry about that. To go find out more about all that is up with Mercy College, who, again, thank you for underwriting our show. So, Bud, today we're going to have Uncommon Good All-Star, our buddy Mike Aquilina, his new book, How the Fathers Read the Bible, Scripture Liturgy in the Early Church. As always, when Mike is on the show, it's more fun than a bag of French fries on a salad like they like out at Pittsburgh.
Well, yeah, and with Lent getting underway, I know a lot of our listeners embrace different kind of Lenten disciplines, fasting, almsgiving, prayer. As some of the great saints have pointed out, it can be really beneficial and spiritually fruitful to supplement that, of course, with, so to speak, like positive disciplines. So scripture reading, regular scripture reading is a great piece of that. If you've been thinking, I want to make this a more regular part of my life, enter more deeply into the mysteries of the Mass, I think Mike's going to have some great guidance for us this morning.
Well, and, various people, we start feeling old when you start knowing all the different people that have written, like, blurbs for your buddy's books. But one thing, I forget where you saw this at, but in many ways, right, there's a compendium of sort of patristic quotes on scripture. And that's not to downplay, of course, like the positive attributions that Mike puts in there. But, you could do a lot worse than just a compendium of quotes from the patristics on scripture.
Yeah, I think even with preaching these days or whatever it happens to be, like if a priest got up and just read St. Augustine, I would not be disappointed. Like it's great to always like engage those pillars of the faith, and we look back to that era of the church as sort of the golden age. I think rightfully so. There was something unique about that proximity to Christ and kind of their grasp of the truths of the faith.
Not as many people called golden mouthed in recent times.
Like, I'm working on it.
Yeah, that's right. Like we'll see what appendages get thrown our way. This is the Uncommon Good, Bo Bonner, Dr. Bud Maher. Like we said, we're going to have Uncommon Good All-Star Mike Aquilina coming and talking about his book, How the Fathers Read the Bible. Excuse me, I wanted to get that exactly right. This is the Uncommon Good, and we'll be back right after this.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Five Sons Naturescapes. Five Sons Naturescapes is a Catholic veteran-owned family company providing premium outdoor landscaping. Learn more about Five Sons Naturescapes at fivesonsnaturescapes.com. fivesonsnaturescapes.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Mercy College of Health Sciences, where you can chart your course for more.
They provide unparalleled clinical rotations, hands-on learning, accelerated education, and flexible schedules, all part of the Mercy College experience.
Learn more at mchs.edu.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Dental Associates, addressing your smile needs and dreams. 515-225-6742. Des Moines-DentalAssociates.com. Thank you, Dental Associates, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio. Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Confluence Brewing Company, brewed locally since 2012 and featuring regular, seasonal, and limited-release beers. Confluence Brewing Company, 1235 Thomas Beck Road off the bike trail south of Grays Lake. ConfluenceBrewing.com. Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Construction Professionals. Construction Professionals does remodeling and new construction. Construction Professionals is a Catholic family business built on a strong foundation. CPCustomHomes.com. Thank you, Construction Professionals, for supporting Iowa Catholic Radio.
St. Vincent de Paul helps so many people.
You're right, Zoe. St. Vincent de Paul Executive Director Steve Havman here. We are serving over 32,000 local residents with food, clothing, furniture, and financial assistance annually. We invite you to learn more about all of our life-changing programs that positively impact so many Iowans by simply Googling St. Vincent de Paul of Des Moines. Our mission is to help those in need become self-sufficient through education, community connectedness, and unconditional support. Help us, help others.
Even kids!
Back with the Uncommon Good, Bob Bonner and Dr. Bud Marr joining you this Wednesday. So great to have you with us. Wonderful day, and glad that you're getting to listen to the show. So today we have, he's up there with maybe the most all-starriest of Uncommon Good all-stars. Bud, please introduce our buddy Mike Aquilina.
Yeah, our guest, yeah, many of you have heard him here on Iowa Catholic Radio, is Mike Aquilina. He's the author of many books, including The Fathers of the Church, Mass of the Early Christians, The Healing Imperative, et cetera, et cetera. He's also the executive vice president of the St. Paul Center, and he's hosted 11 series on EWTN. Mike, thanks for being back with us. I've been thinking about you. Are you? I hope you haven't crossed any dangerous bridges this past month or so.
No. Well, I probably have crossed them, but it wasn't their moment. In Pittsburgh, you just never know when that moment's coming. My daughter has had her commuting route drastically altered by a failing bridge.
Well, in all seriousness, when I saw that news story, I was really grateful that no one actually died in the accident. It looked quite harrowing.
Yes, a sudden collapse of a very large bridge is a scary thing.
Yeah.
If I was better at being a radio host, I would immediately jump into a metaphor about collapsing bridges. So give me a second. Mike, would you not say that the reading habits of the scriptures for a lot of people are like a bridge that's about to collapse, and maybe they need to attend to this structural problems that are occurring in the way we read scripture?
I would say that.
Well,
we can't even imagine the bridges of antiquity anymore because of the bridges we have today. Those bridges that are still standing from the 3rd century are marvels.
That's right. Well, this takes me back to my evangelical days where there was this bridge that, you know, closed the chasm between us and God. So this is good stuff. Your new book, Mike, is How the Fathers Read the Bible, Scripture, Liturgy, and the Early Church. It's published by Emmaus Road. And, Mike, one thread running throughout the entire book is that the home of the scripture is the liturgy. And you dive into the thought of a number of early church fathers, but you say for them, they couldn't really even imagine, the scriptures taken outside of that context. And for us, through a series of historical accidents, you know, like the Bible in some ways, I think especially for American Christians, did get sort of separated. So you point out, like, even to this day, you can enter a hotel room and you'll find, like, a Bible inside the end table or whatever. But getting to that point, Mike, when we say that the home of the scriptures is the liturgy, what did the fathers of the church have in mind?
Well, think about that world. There was no printing press back then, so there was no way to mass produce texts. There was certainly no internet or radio or television or anything like that. So how were you to encounter the scriptures? Well, they had to be proclaimed Where were they going to be proclaimed? Well, Christianity was illegal. It was a capital crime, the practice of Christianity. So it had to be proclaimed privately within the liturgy, within the Mass, and that is where Christians encountered the Scriptures. There in the Mass, just as today, the Scriptures were proclaimed and they were interpreted in sermons. So that's kind of the habitat of Christianity, or of the Scriptures from the beginning. And it wasn't even new then. This is something that's implicit in the Scriptures. When we read the New Testament, we find St. Paul giving instructions to the person who would read this letter aloud within the assembly. The book of Revelation has similar instructions for the reader of this text. And we find that even the Old Testament texts refer to the public reading of the Scriptures. So biblical religion is kind of done this way. It's baked in there. It's built in that these Scriptures would be read within the liturgy, the public worship of the people of God.
You know, Mike, this is all fortuitous. I'm sure people who've been listening to me for the last few months are going to get tired of how I make this. There's a dead horse I'm very much kicking, and it's about sort of Marshall McLuhan and media, and the idea about the media that is dominant in our culture actually shapes how we think significantly. So, of course, all of the people that you mention, and you have like a murderer's row of home run hitters when it comes to patristic interpreters. They don't live in a world where they all each have their own personal copy of the Bible. You know, like St. Gregory the Great has like the Hunter's Bible and Augustine has the Golfer's Bible or whatever. They themselves, even if they, you know, because of monastic traditions and stuff like that, have access to the text, even if they were able to read it because they are one of the lucky few that actually have sort of a copy, as it were, all of their habits would still be to read like they're listening. And beyond the fact that we live very much in a digital world, in a TV world, and so we approach liturgy and text in similar ways. We ask, why isn't it entertaining or blah, blah, blah. Even before that, we live on the other side of, like you said, the printing press. And so even text for us becomes sort of like information arrayed sequentially on a page. And I was reading this article from 1940 about a church local here where people kept talking about reading the breviary instead of praying the hours. And if you think of prayer as reading, you know, think about how much that's going to change how much you think reading the Bible is, when the early church, even in print, understood the Bible to be not only spoken, but to be speaking to them, which is a radically different way to understand those things. And I think that's your book is getting at that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I don't think that's a dead horse. I think that's a very, very much a live horse.
That's why it's so mad at me. It keeps neighing and everything. Yes,
it's a metaphor for me, Mike.
No, I think that's right. When we reduce prayer, really, when we reduce lectio to study, then it becomes something utilitarian. You know, it's useful to us. We gain knowledge. It's a very kind of American thing that
right.
We're going to grow in what we possess.
Absolutely.
And in what we can do with this. You know, it's useful for argument and that sort of thing. And I think that's where we go if we continue that way. Another thing about it is that it becomes very private. You know, it's all about our own creativity and interpretation, and it takes us out of the community. You know, if we read the Scriptures as the fathers did, then we're reading them in community. We're assuming a common language and words that have common meaning, and we have our own community of interpretation there. That holds us accountable, that keeps us honest, that keeps us from going off into our own interpretations just to please ourselves. And that, of course, was the great fear of many of the fathers, that people did just fall into false interpretations because of their own sensuality. The fathers and their way of reading Scripture will protect us from a lot of these bad habits. I'll call them bad habits.
Mike, I think another way to kind of unfold this idea, and I don't want readers to miss this, because I think our listeners, I should say, this morning, like, someone might hear this and say, like, well, of course, the context of reading Scripture is the liturgy. It happens daily or weekly. But there's a point that you make near the end of the book that I think really gets at the heart of the matter. And you say it's this nice little brief sentence, but cuts right to the heart of the matter. The Mass is Scripture in action. The Mass is Scripture in action. I think when we begin to see that idea, we understand mm-hmm. more deeply why the Scripture is meant to be read in the context of the liturgy.
Yes, yes. If you attend the liturgy, then you're going to get the stories of Scripture, the main stories of Scripture over the course of a 3-year period. You get a lot of them just in the course of a typical year, and you're going to hear them repeated again and again. You're going to hear the story of Noah and his flood, and Abraham and Isaac, and Moses and the liberation, the exodus of the people, and then you'll hear the story of the exile and the return. All of these things, and you'll be trained to see them as your own life. You're going to see yourself caught up in the big story, the grand story of sacred Scripture. This is what we call a salvation historical reading of the Bible, but it's one that includes us by way of the sacraments. You know, the sacraments are that great stream of salvation history that still runs through my town and your town and everybody's town. The liturgy is where we kind of check in, where we step into that stream and we see it as our own.
Yeah, and I even have been thinking about how, and very unofficially, but just maybe to make the poetic point, there's a way in which, of course, even Scripture is read primarily to God first in the liturgy, in a sort of like, hey, God, remember, these are the promises you made. And I say that like not because I think that that's like an official doctrine of the church necessarily, but I say that to get people to thinking, right, that, you know, the liturgy is, you know, often, we even the best of us in Catholicism that really want people to go to Mass and stuff, we can make it sound like it's the information download for the week.
Uh-huh.
And so then, like, when we do that with Scripture, we forget not only that God is acting in the liturgy, but we forget that even with the Scripture, this isn't like a sort of information dump that God left for us to like keep consulting. This is the Word of God, and the reason that the Scripture is the book of above all books is because it is continually spoken throughout all of these ages, and it continues to speak. And I just have to say, I think that like your book and your approach are beyond timely because people need to hear that very badly. What we also need to hear is that we're coming up to the break, so I can't let you talk, Mike, because I could tell that you were getting ready. But like whatever that sparked, remember that when we get back, we'll immediately launch into it. Yeah. So we will burn that bridge when we get there. This is The Uncommon Good. Bo Bonner, Dr. Bud Maher, with our buddy Mike Aquilina talking about his new book. We'll be back right after this.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Catholic Charities, where exceptional service is a hallmark in caring for those with essential needs, including food pantry, professional counseling, emergency family shelter, and refugee services. CatholicCharitiesDM.org.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by the Sarah Vocations Ministry, including the St. Sarah Club of Des Moines and the Sarah Club of Council Bluffs. Sarah is an apostolate of the Worldwide Catholic Church dedicated to fostering and supporting priesthood and religious vocations. Sarahs strive to accomplish their mission through prayer, fellowship, and service to the bishop, priests, sisters, and all in religious formation, and in doing so to increase their own holiness. Learn more at joinserra.org, joinserra.org. Thank you, Sarahs, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Permar Security, a Catholic-owned family business providing security solutions for homes and businesses since 1953. PermarSecurity.com, 515-244-5660.
Iowa Catholic Radio would like to thank our business partner, Fast Signs. Learn more about their signs, digital signs, banners, and other products and services at FastSigns.com or 515-224-1210.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Ashworth Vision Clinic. Complete eye exams, contact lenses, glasses, glaucoma testing, and pre- and post-operative care. 515-440-4610. AshworthVision.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Skeffington's Formal Wear, in business since 1951, with locations in Des Moines, West Des Moines, Coralville, and Ankeny. Skeffington's Formal Wear, fitting you for life celebrations. Online at Skeffington's.com.
Back with The Uncommon Good, Bo Bonner, Dr. Bud Maher joining you this Wednesday. Thank you for listening to the show. get back right to it. We have our good friend Mike Aquilina with us today talking about his book, How the Fathers Read the Bible, Scripture, Liturgy, and the Early Church. Mike, you were saying? No, we kind of left you up on a cliffhanger, so hopefully everybody hung in to hear what you have to say next. So make it count.
Well, I like what you were saying. You were talking about how, we go there to the liturgy to remember the marvels the Lord has done. Right, but it's not just an information dump. It's not just we're signing up for a night class here or something like that. No, we're going to remember the marvels, but we're remembering them in the presence of God.
Mm.
And so we're remembering them right there in the context of a liturgy that we call Eucharist, which means literally Thanksgiving. So obviously, it's leading us to this act of praise first, and then Thanksgiving for those marvels, and for the fact that he's visited those upon us. So right there within the liturgy, we have this movement, we have this interaction. It's not just receiving information. No, we're praising God for those. We're thanking him, and we're moving forward. We're going forward with hope because we know our story.
Hmm. Yeah, one of my favorite gospel narratives is the when our risen Lord is walking with two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they're downcast because of what's just taken place with the arrest and crucifixion of Christ. And the gospel writer tells us that Jesus proceeds to walk through Moses, law, and the prophets, so all three parts of the Old Testament, mm-hmm. to show them why this had to happen. And I think that's great that when Christ explains to these, dejected followers the mysteries of the Passion Week, he uses the Old Testament to do so. In the book, you say that the Old Testament carries more meaning than the literal interpretation can give us. And I think, Mike, Lent is a great time to remember that as we sort of in a certain sense, walk through that same wilderness experience that the Israelites went through after deliverance from Egypt. But we just have a few minutes left. Could you say a bit more about how the Old Testament actually is fulfilled and shines light on what God revealed in the New Covenant?
Well, boy,
that's a big one.
It's the same divine author who inspired both Testaments. And at the beginning of the telling of the story, he knew the end of the story. Often this is the way novelists work, and what they do is they kind of build the story that way. They leave you clues all the way through the narrative, and that's what we find in the Old Testament. God didn't just say, "Surprise, here's your Messiah." He led us more deeply into an understanding of what and who the Messiah would be. And so now we can go back as Christians and see the Old Testament through that lens. One of the great errors that the fathers had to counter over and over again through those early years of Christianity was the idea that the Old Testament was somehow obsolete. And they fought this. There was a heretic named Marcion, many, many other Gnostic heretics who rejected the authority of the Old Testament. They said the Old Testament had a different God from the God of the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And the fathers most vehemently opposed this. Now, today, we benefit from all of that wisdom. And we go to the liturgy today, and we find both the Old Testament and the New Testament proclaimed together. We sing the Psalms from the Old Testament, before we read the Gospel, and this is in every single Mass. So we know that our Lord is implicit there through all of the Old Testament and explicit in the New Testament. There's a richness there once we understand the story that had gone before. So much of the preaching of the fathers of the church draws from the Old Testament. And as I said before, these are the stories that we should be hearing over and over again. My wife grew up as a Lutheran, and she said that for her, Sunday school was pretty simple. They just told them those stories over and over again, the story of Noah, the story of Abraham, the story of all the great stories of all the great figures of the Old Testament, and they had a children's hymn to go with each of those stories. Father Abraham and, a song about Noah and the flood and so on. And it really made those memorable. And it made them really unforgettable. We should be so lucky to know those stories, know them deeply, and know that we have a place in them, that they're the stories of our life, in a sense.
Well, we got to go, unfortunately, but I'm telling you, you wrote an unforgettable book. If people have not chosen a book for Lent, I would highly recommend Mike Aquilina's How the Fathers Read the Bible, Scripture Liturgy, and the Early Church, available at all the places people usually go to get those books. Mike, I'm sorry that we have to let you go, because there's so much more we could talk about, but thanks again for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks again for having me.
Thanks,
guys.
Mike.
Yeah, have a wonderful Lent. This is The Uncommon Good. May Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, reign in our hearts, our family, city, state, nation, world, solar system, galaxy, the whole kit and caboodle. This is The Uncommon Good, and we'll be back next week. Oh. But if people want to make sure to be a part of the prayer life here on Iowa Catholic Radio, what are ways they can do so?
Our prayer times on air are easy to remember. 6 a.m., there's the rosary, then the rosary again at 10. Divine Mercy Chapel in the afternoon at 2:55 p.m. And you can pray the rosary anytime, anywhere, using the Iowa Catholic Radio app.
And just to make sure, you know, we don't have tons of time for me to read off some of the liner sheet about what we're up to. You can always go find that at iowacatholicradio.com, or if you download the Iowa Catholic Radio app, you can listen live. But, of course, you can find out where to go in the diocese, where to, like, hang out and see what we're up to. iowacatholicradio.com. You can also donate there. You can call 515-223-1150 to donate, or probably chat to wonderful people with sonorous voices who would love to hear from you as well. We're doing a lot. We want to thank you for everybody who contributed to Carathon. And if you still feel moved to do so, you can give at iowacatholicradio.com, or one more time, 515-223-1150. This is The Uncommon Good. Bud, have a wonderful rest of the week, and just, like I said, a prayerful Lent for everybody out there.
Yep, praying to all you as you journey through this Lenten season.
So, yep, we'll be back with The Uncommon Good next week.
The Uncommon Good with Bo Bonner and Dr. Bud Maher is heard every week on wonderful Catholic stations like this one, and anytime on podcast. Just search for The Uncommon Good.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and The Uncommon Good provided by Mercy College of Health Sciences. Learn more at mchs.edu.